The Burt Show.
So Katie and I had a conversation recently about when do you draw the line at your girlfriend or boyfriend's hobbies? And this could be husband and wife as well, because we have a friend who now she cannot sleep through the night because her boyfriend has this consistent routine of getting up about 3 o'clock in the morning to go play video games.
What?
So she,
like before work? Like will before, he play through yes, breakfast?
And then he will go to work. So she will go to bed with her boyfriend. Everything's fine. And she said she used to be a deep sleeper, but she senses when he gets up now. And I guess she wakes up and wonders where he is, and found consistently he gets up and he goes and plays video games.
Is it because he has insomnia and in video games is just kind of what he does to pass the time rather than lay there wide awake?
I really have no idea. I just know it spawned a conversation about, well, this is, you know, kind of his hobby. It's his thing. And he's picking, you know, an odd time to do it. But then we also heard about another friend whose husband, they, you know, bought a home and the home had a basement. And one of the agreements was that, you know, he liked model trains. That was his hobby, right? So there was a corner of the basement in which he was able to. And like, you know, a lot of guys, when you're a kid, you have their table and at least with my brother when he was a kid, let me say,
yeah,
that he would, you know, nail the tracks on this big wooden table and his big elaborate train set, you know, when he was a kid. Well, some adults still have those train sets. So this husband had put that train set in the basement, and over time it went from the corner of the basement to the fact that it took up the entire basement.
It's like a village down
the
there.
The whole thing.
And you know that was his goal from the beginning.
Oh, of course.
I'm going to cover every square foot of this basement.
And he does. And now he has. And so she's now, her basement and her house, if you go to, you know, is the, like, you walk into, I guess, a West Virginia mountainside where there's, you know, the big painted hill with the grass, and he's got the little trains and the little people and everything. I mean, I can just imagine him having his little conductor hat as he sits on his stool with his little remote control. But still, and then we thought, well, when do you go too far with a hobby? Because we thought, you know what, the entire basement, like, when do you have to go to your partner and say, you know what, we need to talk?
I didn't. My aunt actually did this to my grandmother, and both of them are passed away, so they're negotiating this up in heaven now.
Okay.
Right? But
and they probably really still are, because I'm sure those conversations
they might
are
be.
And yeah.
Yeah, because
God's like, come on, seriously, guys?
My grandma got involved in ceramics in her old age. And would paint, you know, where you make the stuff, and then she would put it in the...
I can't wait to get old to get into something like that.
Cool. And she would, can't get away with it in my 30s, but in my 60s, I'm so there.
I could
there.
Be a ceramic artist.
And she did... She did other things, like she did knitting and stuff like that, but like ceramics or what, that was the big one. So every year, for every holiday, every one of her kids, so my dad and all my aunts and uncles, would get ceramic stuff, and most of them would have to do with the holiday, but then some of them would just be random, probably because all of the, like, the gingerbread houses were taken.
Right.
So it'd just be like a random ceramic goose, you know. But it would be one funny. Because who wants one goose? Nobody really wants, or not a goose, a swan. The swan's the white one, the prettier.
Yeah, right,
the two.
A swan.
So it'd be like a white swan, but who wants really a white swan? So then you would get like three of them over the next three holidays, so you would have a complete set, and then you would have the little ducklings.
Aww.
And when my aunt moved from New York, upstate New York, after my uncle retired, she moved to Arizona, and she gave, like, boxes of ceramics back to my grandmother, who was heartbroken, but she was moving into a smaller house. Like, this is
you
a house.
Give it back.
They had lived
especially
in for years.
Been gifted.
Yeah. But she thought she was doing the right thing, like, where she was like, hey,
she's not going to give them to Goodwill or something.
We're moving from this four-bedroom house that had our home office in it, where we raised our family, out to Arizona. We're moving into probably a one-bedroom, maybe a bedroom and a guest room house. So we just don't have space for it. My grandma was just heartbroken. And, like, I remember, I was only, like, 12 years old at the time, but I remember the intervention that took place with my aunts and uncles just having to explain to my grandmother that, like, hey, you're a little out of control with the ceramics.
See, sweet. I mean, I guess that's sweet with that someone does ceramics. But now something that's not sweet is I know, like, back when the whole cow pattern was big, the whole black and white, like...
Oh, the dairy cow, the Chick-fil-A cow pattern?
Or roosters also. This also applies to the rooster phase, is if you go into somebody's kitchen, that's another thing. If I was, if Katie was big into our whole kitchen looked like you said, a Chick-fil-A cow, or, you know, the rooster thing going
rooster
on.
Rooster theme. I know people who have the pig theme.
The pig theme. Like, I think that's where, you know, oh, I started collecting pigs when I was 12, and now half the house is... Pigs. Oink, oink, and then you'd have to say something.
I have a friend who, when she was a kid, collected some sort of doll, some sort of collectible doll. I don't even know what type like it is, but I'm sure if you're...
Dolls.
That generation's American Girl?
Yeah, it would be like that, but I don't even know what the name of them are. But if you are into that, you would know what this brand name is. I guess apparently each one's very expensive and elaborate and blah, 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 whatever. But like for a long time, like she would still have them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be like, you can't.
What's the stuffed animal thing? The stuffed animal
it's like
thing.
The doll, yeah. I mean, I understand the collectible value of them or whatever, but dolls are creepy when you pass the age of what?
Well,
15?
I think we're taught. All these things seem to be like you're taking things from childhood and you're applying them to adulthood because the stuffed animal
Video
that
games,
takes up
trains.
All your bed or the car. I really don't understand why you have stuffed animals in the back window of your car. Yeah. I don't understand that either.
Beanie Babies.
Yes.
You know there are people listening right now who have had to do interventions on their significant others.
Yes.
I remember Jessica doing an intervention on her childhood best friend who was over Winnie the Poohing her kid.
Oh no.
Oh.
Like,
don't push Winnie the Pooh or push these kid things on your kid.
He had like an Eeyore onesie in his Christopher Robin room and you know what I mean? What did you just say?
I was just saying that there's sometimes that happens at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
When like a parent really likes a certain character and is like pushing it on their kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Then you end up overdosing on it.
Yeah.
Right. Or the people who don't have kids and are way into Disney. Like that's a little bit over the top too. Like we were talking about this I was talking to a girlfriend last night saying that those kids on Burr's Big Adventure, like they know which princess is all theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had a friend in college who she cheered with who was so obsessed with Disney, like they would go to college cheerleading competitions in Orlando and she would get up early in the morning and leave the rest of the cheerleaders and go to the character breakfast. Like by herself.
Shut up.
Yes, by herself as a college student because she was so into Disney. And then she would go back to meet up with her, you know, cheerleaders and they do their, you know, ESPN competitions and all that stuff.
I get Disney by yourself because then you can do what ride when you want. The character breakfast.
Character breakfast by herself. And she was in her 20s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, Amy, welcome to the Burr Show.
Hanging on to the past.
My best friend, she's since grown out of it, but for a good 8 years there, she had a Darth Maul shrine.
A what?
Darth Maul shrine.
Star Wars. Oh, yeah. There was a blow-up chair, pens, cups.
Now, wait a second. There's nothing wrong with that, okay?
You're like, no.
Chair.
I go to Dragon Con with her, but, I mean, it was a shrine.
Yeah.
She's in her 30s.
And you're like, that's enough. You got to stop decorating with your childhood cartoons. That is not the theme of your home.
That's
Alyssa.
What she did. She's like, yeah,
okay, you know what?
Time to move on.
Wait a second. I'm out of this conversation now. No, but then when Katie and I talked about these things, like, and I appreciate the call. When Katie and I talk about these things, we also talk about, well, you know, would they be doing other things that you'd rather not them be doing if they weren't like into this hobby? You know what I mean? Like how much do you fuss at somebody, you know, who is doing something like the train set or, you know, whatever.
Right. When it's an innocent thing.
Yeah.
It's an innocent. Yeah. Like her Star Wars stuff. But it could be just as obnoxious with college football. Like if that's,
but that's
your
acceptable.
Over the top thing,
but see
that's
cool. See,
that's only acceptable because you're into it.
No. I'm saying that sarcastically.
Oh,
that
okay.
I do think that the college football thing or the NFL or any of the sports thing is the same exact thing as everything we're talking about, guys.
I agree with you. And if you are over the top any sports team and that's the theme of the decor of your home, not just your game room that you watch the game in, but it's like everywhere.
Right.
That's too much.
That's the same.
And
thing.
Keep in mind, you're talking to the girl who painted her basement orange.
I did, but that was. That was the sports room.
Kendra.
Yes. I give you that.
Speaking of decor in the house.
My entire house.
Is what?
Mickey Mouse.
Really?
Even the kitchen, the bathroom, the dining room?
I got Mickey Mouse flatware and a toaster and the snow globe sit above my counters in the kitchen.
So explain the obsession.
Slightly.
Explain it to us, though. Help us understand it.
I've just always loved Disney. I grew up in California, and I moved to San Diego in college, and I was 89 miles from Disneyland, so I got to go every other weekend. And I even have Mickey Mouse tattooed on my wrist.
Are you a married gal?
No, I'm not.
What does a boyfriend say when they first see your house?
They don't really freak out too much because most of it's, like, collector stuff. It's not like I have, like, little stuffed animals all over the house. Mm-hmm. But some people walk in and go, oh, no. And I always joke that my house looks like a five-year-old's bedroom threw up.
Do you have, like, Mickey Mouse wallpaper or anything?
No.
Okay.
Do you have kids?
No.
And
I'm all about the theme, but I think that, yeah, but there is this
consolidated
overkill,
to one area.
One room.
Overkill.
Yeah, one room.
It's anything in quantity becomes an obsession and it becomes odd.
If like, it becomes your decor of your entire home, then maybe it's
it is just when do you have to do an intervention? So I guess maybe when it spills past a room into another room.
When you're baking with your Mickey Mouse oven mitts, time to say it's when to say when.
The Burt Show.
A lot of life changes happening on the Burt Show. Tracy about to squeeze out a kid.
Tracy's about to give birth to her first child.
Mm-hmm. And then we got
squeeze out a kid.
Lindell,
it's not an orange.
And then Lindell has decided that she really likes her boyfriend and is going to marry him.
I think that's awesome. You're just so not romantic. Lindell is in love, and her and her boyfriend are now going to enter matrimony and spend the rest of their life happily ever after.
It's now her and her fiance.
Her fiance.
That word just is so weird. Like, you can't say boyfriend, and I think fiance is just a weird word. Kind of pretentious.
Have you ever introduced him as that?
No. I'm like, oh, yeah, my boyfriend.
Has he introduced you as his fiance?
No. Both of us think it's a weird word.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're just not going to use it?
It's a weird word, but you only are allowed to use it for a short time, so go for it.
Yeah, but it's just strange. People I don't know, I'll say it to, just so they understand the, you know, relationship. Mm-hmm. But
well, Lindell is, I think,
understand the relationship, meaning he is mine.
Yeah, get away from him.
Hands off, back off.
And I think part of this with Lindell is religious, because Lindell's Mormon, so they're mm-hmm. having, and her boyfriend is too, fiance is too. So I think that is one of the religions that doesn't have long engagements generally. But I also think Lindell's...
Well, there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
the honeymoon.
Don't do it until you're married.
Right. So once you green light the fact that you're about to, then why would you have a long engagement?
And then why?
The second part of that is I just think Lindell takes care of business. I think that's just the way she operates. I think even if it wasn't a religious thing, I think Lindell would just be like, we're engaged now? Okay, let's get this marriage out of the way. Go.
Now, Lindell, what I find fascinating is because I'm assuming we're going to talk about how the plans are going for your wedding.
Yeah.
And I want to keep this, capture this, and have this audio. And then, like, the day before your wedding or the day of your wedding, I want to talk to you again. Well, you may not be here the day of your wedding, but you know what I'm saying? Like, closer to time.
See if because I panic.
Just to see if it's going as smoothly as it's going to sound like it's going right now.
Yeah, it actually is going really, really smoothly. I think the most stress I've had is my parents stressing me out more.
Mm-hmm.
Just by like getting an event facility, getting catering, and they're more stressed out about it not being all set up. But I didn't have any problem finding like where I wanted to the reception, getting a catering company.
And this is going to make women hate you, but what day did you get engaged?
January 21st.
So 6 weeks ago.
Pretty much, yeah.
Percentage-wise, how much done are you with wedding planning?
I have gotten maybe like 85% done.
Now, are you one of the girls that has always known exactly what you wanted? So as soon as you were proposed to, you just had A, B, C, D in line? Like already you knew what you wanted?
No.
Because I think that's the biggest thing for most women is in the decision-making of what they want.
Exactly. I have tons of girlfriends that have like little notebooks or folders or lists or of like, this is what I want for my wedding. And I just never wanted to do that while I was dating. It's kind of like counting your chickens before they hatch. Like, mm-hmm. just what's the point?
So I would almost think that would be bad luck. Yeah, jinx.
So I never did that. And over the past couple of years, most of my friends have gotten married. So it was a good experience for me to see what I didn't or did like about their weddings and kind of make a mental note. And so when it's come time for me to do stuff, it's just been a lot easier.
It doesn't seem like you would agonize over decisions. Like if somebody presented to you a caterer or said you can have A, B, or C, you would just look at it and be like, I like B. done.
Yeah, I'm very relaxed.
Like, you're not going to be overly dramatic of whether the chicken is rosemary or not,
yeah,
or whether it's, you know, grilled or fried or whatever. You're going to be like, yeah, that sounds good.
You may end up being the person to write the ultimate wedding guide, you know, because everything is cool. She's not stressed out.
You're so laid back about the whole thing.
But I am curious about what it is that your parents have done that has caused stress in your life.
It's just them. Like, my mom is awesome about it, but she'll call like every day or every other day. Like, when I didn't have a like reception site yet, she's like, you need to find one. And I was like, okay, I'll find one. So every day I would look, but if I hadn't gotten a couple of lists down for her, it wasn't good enough or whatever. So everyone else is just like, are you okay with everything? Totally fine. But it's just my parents. My mom's very anxious and she has anxiety towards it. So I understand where she's coming from. But that was the only stress that I was feeling, was her being anxious.
Are you the only girl?
I'm the oldest daughter.
Okay.
So this
and
is
the,
like
first
the first
to get married. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what about your fiance? Who's more stressed, you or him?
I think neither of us are. Both of us, like, he's taking care of, like, he's got assigned things to do and I've got things that I'm taking care of. So it's just very laid back. It's very different.
Lyndall's very down to business, decision maker.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good.
So the thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I was looking at the notes from one of our meetings, when did you realize that you have not registered for enough?
When
that seems like something you can't really go back on. Like, once it's done, right? Can you go?
You can always add stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cool to do, though?
A lot of people have to.
Well, yes. I think that it is. What's uncool is if you only register for things that people can't afford. Like, I think that if you assume all of your guests are going to be able, especially now, to afford the fine china and the fine, you know,
silverware,
everything, then I think that's what I think is rude. If you register at one nice place and then one, you know, everyday place, then I think that way you're covering
like,
everybody.
Like a Tiffany and a Target.
Yes.
And I think you also have to register for things not just in, like, the bulk. Like, I think if you register for plates and bowls and cups and all that stuff, you have to register for them outside of just a place setting.
Yeah.
Because if somebody can't afford your whole place setting, say it's an expensive place setting, like, they could at least get you a portion of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to register for it in a different way in order to do that.
I didn't realize how difficult registering was. And Mike has been, my fiance has been so good about coming and going and doing stuff.
He's a fiance.
About, I know. First time.
Good job.
About
good job.
Ding, ding.
Like registering for stuff. And he was like, you know, I really want to be there and both of us can pick out everything.
Well, he just wants to use that cool little gun.
Oh, yeah. Except I used it. I took control because I didn't want him registering for like random stuff like video games or something.
Don't. Oh,
that's
my
funny.
God.
That's hilarious.
That's a gadgetry part.
That's very Lyndall move.
That would actually be.
Oh, that'd be awesome if GameStop was one of the places you registered.
There's a lot of places I'd like to register at, but I don't think they'll let you.
That would be. That might be worth, I think everybody's calling for Miley now, but that would be a good one to write down for later. What were you surprised to find on your registry?
That's funny.
Like, you go online and look at it, and all of a sudden you're like, a plasma television from Best Buy? I didn't register for that, and then it dawns on you.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I actually had a friend who registered for Reese's Puff cereal because they were registering at Target, and they were like, but I'm hungry right now. I want some cereal. So as a joke, we bought them the Reese's Puff cereal because it was on the registry. So what's the point?
That's funny.
That's awesome.
And they were stoned.
Oh, they totally were.
So at what point do you decide I need more stuff?
My best friend told me, she asked how everything was going and asked if we'd registered. And I said yes. And she went and looked at the registry and was like, Lyndall, you only registered for like 20 things. You have to register for more. And for me, I was like, but this is all I think I need. And it's nothing's like super extravagantly priced. It's like maybe the most expensive thing was like $50. But she was like, Lyndall, people will be mad when they try and go buy you a gift and they can't because you only have registered for 20 things.
Yeah, it's true because they want to get you what you want and they want to know, like, you know, from the registry, like what your colors are and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't have enough on there, they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I've struggled with going back and like registering for maybe I need napkins or, you know, just stuff that I don't think of. And she's like, you'll need like a tablecloth eventually. You'll need like nice linen napkins or something. And
or fun stuff like a waffle maker.
Yeah.
Or food processor.
It's just
or whatever.
Stuff that I don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely don't have the whole like, I register for mostly kitchen stuff because I don't have like, you know, a whisk. The normal things like mixing spoon, measuring cups.
Good. Well, my shopping's done.
I don't have that.
Congratulations on your wedding. Here, beat some eggs.
So I register for practical things. And
I'm trying to figure if I have a whisk.
I don't have one.
I don't know.
What?
Probably.
I don't bake.
I don't cook.
And everyone's like, you're just getting married.
No
you
way.
Need to
cooking,
have stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, so just stuff like that everyone should have registered for that I didn't, but.
Me and Melissa just don't know what a whisk is.
I don't know. I haven't been in the kitchen in 4 years.
I'm just curious, with your whole wedding process, do you think you'll stress about anything? Like, if you can predict something that would make you anxious or stress out about, is it going to be your hair, makeup, What you're wearing?
Probably makeup, because I don't wear makeup. And I've been told I can't not wear it on the wedding day. But I was like, I don't even know how to put on makeup. So,
but you don't, right? You like somebody comes in on your wedding day and does your hair and makeup.
Exactly. But still, that whole process, I don't even know like what I'd want to look like. You know, just stuff that I don't even take in consideration in my everyday.
Don't you get like a consultation beforehand, like they do it beforehand to see if you like it? And then you can play with the colors and stuff.
What if you realize, what if this whole thing happens and you realize during this conversation that you've been planning your wedding completely wrong?
Or do are people getting on your nerves about how, like, well, are you cool? I mean, like, because instead of it being okay for you to be cool, everybody's saying, well, okay, wait a second, you're going to freak out before this is over with, you know that. And you're thinking, no, really,
it's just
I'm
so
not.
Odd that she's not at all.
As you ask that question, the only thing I've realized is as I go to different stores looking for, you know, ties for groomsmen or just checking out invitations, talking to the owners of those stores or the people working there, as I explain to them what I want, they'll be like, that's really not in season right now. That's probably not in vogue. You shouldn't do it. I'm like, these are my colors and I will be doing them. Or they'll be like, you know what? That's probably not the best color. I'm like, well, see this piece of fabric I'm holding up? This is the bridesmaid's dress and the ties will match it. And they're like, I think it's funny that you go in with something and I'm like, you're supposed to be selling me your items. Don't try and sell me something else. And they think that they know best about somebody else's wedding.
Well, they're trying to help because of, you know, whatever. It's in season or in style or whatever. So
it's a little of both. They're trying to help, but they're also trying to push
and
their
trying
new
to
items.
Sell.
Here's my new, not
more
on
expensive.
Sale.
Yeah.
So that's the only frustrating part.
But. Well, good luck for
Well, congratulations on things being almost 80% complete and you not stressing out. So good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah, you should put your email address online so women who have been planning the wedding for a year and aren't even close to 80% could call you and hate you.
Nice.
You should. That would actually be a good, like a no-stress wedding guideline. Plan your wedding in 30 days or less. And Lindell, you should write it.
That's what I'm saying.
But
Lindell,
see, most people,
that's her. That's your ticket. You're going to be the best-selling wedding author.
Most people can't do it, though.
Yeah, most people
there's too
get
many decisions.
And stressed out.
Yeah, there's too many decisions to make, and they stress over every little tiny decision.
You
rather than
like
you, you can just
Don't
look back.
There might be people now stressed out over your wedding, going, I can't believe she hasn't had her hair and makeup consultation. Like there are probably like wedding planner type people who are anxious, going, oh my God, the whole day is going to be ruined. Lindell, I need to get a hold of Lindell.
And people who are stressed out, they don't have a whisk.
Now
there's two of them in the studio.
I'll buy everybody a whisk next week.
Thank you.
Hey, The Bird Show.
So I think there's sort of like a, I think there's a common thought when it comes to guys, and I'm speaking in generalities here, that, and it's a double standard in most relationships, that women are supposed to stay thin, and if a guy gains weight, he's just a guy. He's just a guy. Like women.
He's a lovable big guy.
It's more important for a woman, I think this is the general theory. It's more important for a woman to stay thin because men are attracted, for the most part, to thinner women, whereas women are more attracted with their ears and
well,
what
it's
you
like
say.
The visually, argument would, yeah.
visually stimulated.
Visually
that men are more visually stimulated.
Right, there you go. Men are more visually stimulated. Women, you got to get in their head. You got to get in their heart. So if a guy puts some weight on, it's not a big deal. He's still underneath all that.
As long as he's thoughtful and appreciative and everything else, a woman will take the appearance thing with a grain of salt.
And maybe tolerate it. It won't bother her as much as it bothers a guy.
She sees it, but it's not going to be a deal breaker.
So I think that's the common theory. But I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago. Stacy and I did. Actually, I overheard Stacy and her girlfriend talking. And her girlfriend is married to a guy. And I guess they've probably been married about, I don't know, 6-7 years or so.
Okay.
And her husband has put on a whole bunch of weight.
How much?
I'm going to do the math on this because I've known the guy for a long time. I'll say 50 pounds?
5-0?
5-0, maybe. And back in the day, the dude was an athlete. He was the baseball player, football player, one of these guys that anything you put in his hands as far as the ball goes, he's a natural athlete, right?
So when they met, he was like all muscle, and now he's like Mr. Beer Gut.
I would say he's never been all muscle, but he was certainly thin and athletic.
Okay.
All right, he's not thin anymore. He's turned into the beer-drinking softball player. On the weekends.
Okay.
And
you mean the beer drinking like cooler at each base softball league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a big dude now. And he even jokes about how big he is. And I think she jokes with him about how big he is also. And I don't think he knows that it bothers her, but she was complaining quite a bit.
Like she's not sexually attracted to him anymore?
She wouldn't come out and say that, but when you put all the conversations we had about it together over the weekend, you could really tell she was kind of grossed out by him.
Mm.
No, she might actually use the word grossed out.
Grossed out?
How could you tell she felt that way? Well, she said I'm grossed out by him.
Right. And I think here, the general thought with guys is like, they don't, she doesn't really care if I'm putting the weight on. It's, I still am who I am and she still loves me. And I wanted to ask women, is this an isolated incident or, and you've probably never said this to your man before, but you're really turned off by his weight gain? Because I think your guy in the relationship doesn't know that.
Yeah, I think guys don't have the 24/7 body conscious, mentality that women do.
No. 404-741-Q100.
I do think to your woman, it's a reflection of whatever else is going on with you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or a lack of, a lack of concern for yourself or lack of taking care of yourself or you're eating or you're not taking care of yourself because of something else. To me,
especially
with him, if you're consistently a certain body type, it's one thing. But for this guy to put on 50 pounds. How long did it take him to put the 50 pounds on?
I think they've been married, 5-6 years or something like that.
So it's consistent weight gain.
Right. So now he's just, he's a big dude.
Because the first thought I had when you said that is, what else? I mean, was there a job change? Was there anything else like that going on?
I just think he's been a lazy dude. He's just lazy.
Well, I know women who played sports in college and stuff, and they don't have a coach, and they don't have teammates, and they don't have all that going on, and then they leave school, then they don't work out.
This guy he almost endorses he's almost bragging about it, and he doesn't know it, but it's driving her crazy. And I think it's because most guys think that it doesn't matter if they put the weight on. The wives are going to be, and girlfriends are going to be attracted to him either way. Hey, Melissa, go ahead.
Hi, I love y'all guys.
Thank you.
I met my husband now about 4 years ago, and when I met him, he was in the Marine Corps, aviation, the whole thing, and he weighed 160 pounds and was all muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, 4 years later, he weighs 265 pounds, and I can't get him to work out to save my life.
Over 100 pounds more than he was 4 years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
So when you say you can't get, it is bothering you. So you're stating that, the weight gain has definitely bothered you.
Yes. Like, I'm a very fit, skinny person. I eat good. And he just eats crap all day and won't go to the gym with me.
Is it to a point between us that you're just not even sexually attracted to him anymore?
Pretty much, yeah. Sex life has just gone down the drain.
See, I would think guys, I think you can be rougher on a guy about his weight gain than a guy can be about a woman.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, guys don't have the...
she could say to him, I don't want to have sex with you anymore.
Oh, no.
don't get carried away there.
That's a little harsh. Tough can she be?
I think a girl can come up to a guy and go, hey, I got to be honest with you, you're getting a little fat.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy won't. Whereas I think you say that to a woman,
mm-hmm.
you say that to a woman and she will crumple to the floor.
Right.
You say it to a guy and he'll be like, what?
I don't know if a guy could handle that.
Now, again, you're thinking with a woman's mind. You're thinking like if a guy said that to you and understand what you have told us about a woman's history and how you're all always body conscious, that like Jeff said, I think it crushes you. But I think you could be more brutally honest with a guy about this than a guy.
And I think if you're trying to get a guy to change, I think you have to be that brutally honest because, again, it's not to, steal the title of the book, Mars and Venus book or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but it is two completely different languages.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to talk to a guy using women's language.
Words that would soothe you.
Right. And you're trying to say,
like, hey, let's eat healthier together.
Think,
and
all
that
let's stuff.
Let's go to the gym together.
And the guy thinks,
spend some time outside.
And what you don't understand, I got a whole new one. Screw Mars and Venus. Here's mine. Guys are like bulldogs. They're very simple. Like, their mind only processes one thing. So if you say, let's eat healthier, if you say to me, let's eat healthier, I'm going to go, I don't want to eat healthier.
Doesn't taste good.
Yeah,
so
I
what should
healthier.
You say to the guy?
Hey, you're getting fat.
And say that to the guy.
Really?
If you eat
healthier, you lose some weight.
Hey, I just want to let you know, you're getting fat, and I'm going to start going for a walk every day. I'm going to take the dog on a 3-mile walk every day. You want to come with me? Because you're getting fat.
If Stacy tells me, look, I got to tell you, you're getting kind of doughy here. It's turning me off. It's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
Back
That's
in
it.
The gym.
But
well,
first, I'd be like, offended. Damn, what are you talking about? But then I'd look at it. I think a guy knows.
Uh-huh.
But you could... That'll motivate them.
And then what would she say if she said, hey, if she came to you and said, hey, don't you think you should be seeing Dovet 4 times a week rather than just 2? In your mind, you'd be like, I'm good with 2.
Right, I'm fine. I don't even like it in there.
Yes. guys do not process things beyond the words you use. Do not try to be nice and kind and say what you think girlfriends want to hear and expect guys to translate that. If your guy's getting fat, tell him, hey, you're puffing out a little bit there.
Beth here wants to be on The Voices, guys. Or go ahead, Beth.
Hey, guys. I love you guys. I'm so excited to be on the radio with you guys.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for being part of the show.
We're excited to be on the radio with you.
Oh, good, good. Well, yeah, I met my husband, I guess, 8 years ago, and we've been together several years, and I have a little bitty boy, and I put on 70 pounds when I was pregnant, and I lost all that weight plus like 10, and I've worked out like crazy, and I cannot get him to lose a pound. I mean, he's gained probably 50 pounds, and it's all in his stomach, so it's like a total turn off.
Mm-hmm. To a point, again, that you're not sexually attracted to him.
Oh, yeah. Like, he always says, you know, what's happened to your sex drive? And I'm like, well...
It's what's happened to your belly.
Right, your 50 pounds has happened to my sex drive.
Getting in the way.
I want that thing off me. Get that belly off me.
I mean, physically, yeah.
Look, one of the most important things to us.
That's something to maneuver around.
Yeah. You don't want to make it difficult. We want to make it as easy for y'all as possible.
Exactly.
Look, the one thing that every guy wants more than anything else, let's be honest, is sex, right? So if you can subtly tell him that this is having an influence on why you're not having sex with him, there is no greater motivator.
Wait, but you're just being hypocrite. You said subtly tell him.
Hey, it's turning me off. You put all that weight on, and it's kind of turning me off, is a lot different than, look, you're not getting sex because you're fat.
Okay.
Yeah, but if he were to say that to me, like, I would lose my mind, and that's why I guess I don't say it to him.
But I couldn't even say those words with Stacey. I couldn't say, hey, you're putting a little weight on, and it's totally turning me off. Even that wouldn't work.
But it would work with a guy.
We understand that, though, because a woman, I mean, Wendy, Jen, and myself at some point, multiple times this morning, have thought about our body, like thought about how fat we feel, or, you know, what we need to do and what we're eating today, or how much that is constantly going through the three of our minds as we're sitting
and
here.
And intern Joanna in the back is nodding.
Intern Joanna, it's a constant, that's the inside voice we have constantly, is about our body, about food, about working out, about something in our head, and guys don't have that. So, yeah, I mean, it's understood why you can say one thing to one and not the other.
I think the point that I'm trying to make here, like, if you're a guy and you're listening right now and you think that your weight gain has zero effect on your wife or your girlfriend, what I think you're I'm wrong. Hearing here today and what I heard a couple of weeks ago is that it really does. They're just really not talking to you about it because they think it's going to hurt your feelings.
Because women have eyes. And, you know, like, not me, but I mean, women lay with you and sleep with you. This is the part I don't know. Lay with you and sleep with you and sleep with you. And, you know, that, I mean, we're not dumb and we see it, you know, but it's just, we let it slide and slide. But it seems that if we are working out and we're, you know, in shape and you're not, it seems like if you're both not gaining weight together, that's where the issue seems for men and women. If one's doing one thing and the other one's not, that's where it seems to create the most problems.
Let me just take one more call on this and then we'll move on. Go ahead, Katie. You're on The Voice, guys.
I was just calling to tell you there was a great motivation. And one thing that I had told my husband, for every 30 pounds a man is overweight, he loses an inch down there.
We did hear that, didn't
that's
we?
That's a good one.
Your husband put on how much weight?
When I met him, he was really, really heavy, and then he dropped like 75 pounds, and then he gained back another 100.
Mm. Well, the way you say it to him is, what you say to him is, hey, buddy, you've lost 3 inches. Like, you don't say, you put on 100, and that'll get him in the gym. So I had heard that story, I think, that tale or whatever about the extra weight being related to 15 pounds, and I actually had a girl say, not the brightest girl, in an old radio station I worked at, well, if that's the case, if every 15 pounds you lose, you gain an inch, why wouldn't you just gain and lose 15 pounds over and over and over again?
What?
She was thinking that every 15 pounds you lost, it grew an inch.
Aw, poor little thing.
If that was the case, I'd be 530 pounds tomorrow.
The Bird Show.
This should be some kind of law. Actually, it should be the responsibility of the tattoo artist to go, no, I just won't do that. I won't, because there's too much risk involved.
You know, we've been telling you this morning in the entertainment buzz that the celebrity couple who loved each other so much so, that they tattooed each other's names on their bodies. Aww. She got his tattooed right on her hip. He supposedly has hers tattooed somewhere on his body, but now they are over. I'm talking about Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green, who just called off their engagement.
Now, from his standpoint, I understand it.
For him to put Megan Fox on his body?
Because he can have bragging rights for the rest of his life.
Bert and I actually have matching Megan Fox tattoos.
No problem for now. But for her now, it's going to be a little bit more of a problem. She thought that she'd be with him for the rest of her life, so she got it underneath the navel.
Yeah, right on her pelvis, like right on her pelvic bone.
Yes, she did.
Right in her sexy spot.
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Is it just Brian, or is it Brian Austin? Since he uses three names.
Just Brian in like cursive letters.
She could just cloud it up a little
on
bit.
On that very soft porcelain-like skin.
Okay.
And then
airbrushed.
Can't she just say it's brain? Like, have him manipulate and go, yeah, it was supposed to be brain, but they messed up.
Tattoo artist jacked it all up. But, I mean, you got to be absolutely 100% confident that the person's name that you're tattooing on your body somewhere is going to be in your life forever. And that's a child.
You have your child's initials tattooed.
I've got their initials. Yeah, I know they're not going anywhere. Right. Hollis and Hayden, not going anywhere. So I've got the initials on my shoulder. Look, for me, I wouldn't even put my parents.
Well, you gotta,
I'm not sure on a day.
You got a rough family. You don't know how that's going to work out.
So you some put mom on or dad. But yeah, was it Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson who had their names names tattooed on each other's ring finger? And did Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz do that too? Or did Pete Wentz? I feel like Pete Wentz may have something of hers tattooed on him, too.
I mean, there's a long history of celebrities that have done this that have had to go back in and get it all, you know, rearranged.
Like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, with Billy Bob Thornton is a great example.
She had to have Billy Bob lasered off.
Mm-hmm. We've got these pictures of the tattoos and the celebrities up on our website, or we will in a couple of minutes at Q100Atlanta.com. But Johnny Depp had Wynonna Forever.
Oh, that's right.
Inked on his arm in a tribute to Wynonna Ryder. They broke up. So he had his tattoo changed to now read Wino Forever. It does.
That's kind of funny.
What does that mean?
It means anything but Wynonna is what that means. Jude Law quoted the Beatles on his forearm tattoo honoring his wife, Sadie Frost. And it said, "You came along to turn on everything, sexy Sadie." The two divorced after 6 years of marriage.
Oopsie.
Law has covered up the lyric with a tattoo of a heart. Then you've got Billy Bob Thornton, like you said, and Tom Arnold put Roseanne Barr's entire face on his chest.
Oh, that's right.
You guys remember that?
I forgot about that one.
Look at that. I mean, that's huge on like his left pec.
I have known someone who got the tattoo of her girlfriend on her back, and then they didn't make it.
Mm.
What do you do with it? How do you cover a face?
I've got the ultimate tattoo.
Red.
The tattoo, jacked up, whatever tattoo story.
Okay.
The one benefit here is that it's not a full name, but it's a, and I haven't seen a picture of it, but a guy I know decided that he and the girl that he was dating would have matching, like a monogram-ish looking thing, but it was in a circle of hearts. You know, so it's a whole bunch of tiny little hearts. Then in the middle of that were each other's initials.
That's cheesy anyway.
Yeah, so each other's initials. And then
They
should be punished just for being cornballs.
And it was her idea, and she's really good in bed.
But then underneath it was a little, like, scroll-looking thing that was the day that they met. And that's what the whole thing was designed. She actually designed it, sent it to him. Everything was cool. She is currently outside of, not in Atlanta, because she's doing a residency type thing for school, an away internship. But they made the decision that on Valentine's Day evening, they would both go to get that tattoo on. So they both go and did it. He sends her a picture of it as soon as he goes home. He peels the bandage off. He takes a picture of it. She says, "I have a surprise for you. I'm coming home. I'll show it to you then." So she says, "I'm not going to send it to you now. It looks gross." She comes home sits down with him and says she went to the tattoo artist on Valentine's Day. As soon as the needle touched her skin, she told him to stop and didn't think the relationship would last forever. She didn't want to do it. So then she waited a couple days because she knew she wasn't going to see him for like 2 weeks, figuring, you know what, it's just too much. I'll be able to go back. She went back to the tattoo artist 3 times, never got the tattoo, came back to Atlanta and broke up with him.
Oh,
he said that the fact that she couldn't get the tattoo meant
was a sign.
Was a sign. Meanwhile, the ink's barely dry on his, and it's big.
Still
it's all
swollen.
Hearts. It's got the date that they met.
Where is it at?
Dang.
It's on his, not his bicep, like I guess the ball shoulder. Of his shoulder, like where his shoulder joint would be.
That's
damn.
Sucks.
That's the worst.
And is this someone that has lots of tattoos?
It's his first and only.
Stand out.
I actually
that he did not sucks. Find this funny, but I suggested that the scroll underneath, he should just put another scroll and have it the day the relationship ended.
Death date.
He did not find it funny.
I want to take calls on the Hall of Fame of tattoo mistakes right here. Like, you knew it was going to last, but now you're stuck with this every single day. And why? And that would be a very tough one to beat right there.
Years ago, somebody said they came up with tattoo ink that was like removable with a special laser. Do you guys remember that?
Barely.
So you get the tattoo, and then if 10 years from now the relationship ends,
it's easier to get off.
They use a special laser on it that evaporates the color in there, so you don't. Because now, how many laser treatments? Didn't you look into it once?
No, I just know
it's painful. Apparently,
I know that it's really painful and it takes a long amount of time. And I just figure, like in another 6 or 7 years, it'll be an easy procedure. Yeah. So I'm waiting on mine, not my kids' names. That'll always be there. But I got this other arm. That's
the barbed wire.
Well,
it's a wave, but it's stupid.
If you got that ink, Jeff, you'd have to say it in private. Listen, dude. Give me the ink that I can take away.
Yeah. Hey, I would like to get right here, right across my chest, Jessica. In the disappearing ink.
Yeah. Don't tell her.
Hey, Nicole. Good morning. You're on the Bird Show. Hi.
Hi. I was with this guy for about 5 years, and it didn't work out. And he got married a year after I left him. While he's still married to her, but he has since had a picture of an angel tattooed on his back with red hair, and he said, it's me.
Oh.
Mm. Oh. Oops.
And I was like, yeah, you're weird. Go away.
Hey, Kelly, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Hello. I was with my son's father 4 years before we had our son. On my 18th birthday, I went and got a 4-inch Winnie the Pooh with his initial in his shirt.
Now what?
Now we're not together anymore.
Gone.
Why did you
what
choose?
What was the initial?
Yeah, and Winnie the Pooh seems so random.
Because he was my Pooh Bear. He was a big, nice, cuddly guy.
Okay. Now it makes sense.
Is that why he broke up with you? Because you kept calling him Pooh Bear?
No!
Now you can tell everyone it's because you read that book, The Tao of Pooh, and it really influenced
us. Yes. It's all about balance now.
Yeah.
Just in a different part of my life. Good morning, Dawn. You are on The Bird Show, huh? No, you're not.
Don't ever call
she
us
She got
again.
Offended by the Pooh reference.
Don't tell Don't me how to run my life. Good morning, Christine. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, you guys.
Hello.
Okay, so my ex-husband came home on Mother's Day. And my name's Christine. It has 9 letters in it. And my Mother's Day present was 2-inch letters from love handle to love handle on his back that said Christine. I was like, that is not what I asked for Mother's Day.
And are you still together?
No. That would be the ex-husband. I don't know what. Oh, and then in the divorce, he tried to sue me for tattoo removal, $1,600.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, Alyssa, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I want to tell you guys that I love you. My current boyfriend and I listen to you guys. We carpool to work, and we listen to you every morning.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I had an ex who, when we first started dating, I knew it was a rebound. And a couple days before I was actually going to break up with him, he showed up at my doorstep with my nickname tattooed on his leg and lizard, because my nickname is Lissy and lizard is kind of a nickname too, on his leg, about 5 inches long. And I was so mad at him, I called him an idiot, and I just ended it right there, and now he's still stuck with my name on him.
Oh, no.
And you're laughing about it.
I know. Well, she didn't ask him to do it.
She didn't ask him to do it. You better be really confident.
All on his own.
I would love to know the statistics of tattoo artists, when, you know, how many of them get first-time tattoos or original tattoo orders, or they're having to cover up something. You know, what percentage of cover-ups do they have to perform every day?
I think if I was a tattoo artist, it would almost be my policy. I would lose the money and say, look, I just can't, unless it's your mom or your dad or a child, I can't do it. Go see the guy right next to me.
I would open a tattoo parlor only for cover-ups. Like, that would be the name, cover-up tattoos.
That's a great idea.
And just see how much business I get.
You're just not into him anymore, it's called.
Yeah. But
get it. The Bird Show.